It's not easy being Jeff Lewis.
I've been working on my memoir. It's called Burning Bridges, Overcoming a Life of Privilege, Fame, and Power. I have enough of my own therapy to deal with. I don't want to hear about yours. And I said, you're right. I'm very famous, and I deserve special treatment.
Jeff Lewis has issues.
Hey, it's Jeff Lewis, and I have issues. In today's episode, Dolores Catania and Paul Connell join the show in New York City. We talk about autocorrect gone wrong, making a mess in public, and a plane ride from hell. This is a good friend. So Paul and Dolores were in Florida. Now, granted, it rained for 4 days.
Today was going to be the nice day.
And you, oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, because they basically, so everybody knows, they moved their trip. They left a day early so they could be here and do this show for me. And I really appreciate that. I was feeling less guilty when you said the weather was bad, though, until you said today was the only day of sun.
We both enjoy being here so much, no lie, that it's worth it.
Yeah.
We could always go to Florida.
If I heard like six times, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? I'm like, it's Thursday. Relax.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. I remember though. Yeah, Thursday. So the funny thing is, what I think is so important is that I very much try to meet with my guests either the night before or the morning of, because you get the latest gossip drama. So this is absolutely insane, Paul, that he was telling me about this morning. So you take your car and you you put it in for service, correct?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell the story about what happened to you?
So I dropped my car. It was actually to get an extended warranty. So we sent the car in to the dealership and the car came back and it wasn't really what I expected, right? So I sent a text.
They didn't fix it the way you wanted it fixed.
No.
So it still has problems.
Check engine light was on. The tire pressures were all different. And I'm like, this is, you know, not from a dealership like of the brand, right?
Yeah.
So the car comes back. I realized there's something still wrong with it. So I the text message that I was going back and forth with this person that worked there, I sent a message to him. I'm like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you give me a call? Because there's something wrong with the car. But that's not what came out. So
you did it on voice text with your accent.
Yeah.
And what did the text say that you sent to the auto, the service manager or the service advisor?
I say his name?
No.
He's a service advisor, right?
Oh, he's service advisor, yeah.
So he's the one that checks you in. He's the one that follows up, all of that.
We've been communicating back and forth. I'm like, hey.
They have a nice working relationship. There's no...
Had.
Problems. No.
Yeah.
Until you sent the text.
Yeah.
And so what did the text say?
So what I did say was, hey, can you give me a call? There's obviously something wrong with the car. But what came out was, hey, I want to kill you. Can you give me a call? Thank you.
Thank you.
And but I obviously didn't know because I just voice text and I send them. People say that to me all the time. They're like, what are you sending to us? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I asked them for a toast. They're like, what are you looking for?
So you threatened to kill the service advisor.
Siri did, yeah.
And then what happened?
So me and Dolores having coffee and I get a phone call and I it was a 908 number from the same area where the place was. And I'm like, hello. And he's like, hey, can I speak to Paul Connell? I'm like, this is Paul. He goes, this is Detective Beep. I'm like, yeah, is everything okay? He's like, did you have your car serviced in this dealership recently? And I'm like, yeah. He said, can you explain your text message? And I'm like, sorry? He's like, what are you talking about? And I had to go into my phone while I was on the phone to this detective and look at it. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck? Who fucking sent this? I'm like, are you fucking for real? And he's like, wait, you didn't, tell me what happened. I'm like, can you understand me right now? He goes, kind of, just, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. So he kind of put one and one together pretty quick. He's like, okay. So he goes, I'm not really going to follow up on this. I think this is good. I kind of get your accent, so we'll leave this be.
But this guy, so this service advisor, calls the police because he believes that you've threatened his life.
He went and made a report against
him. He actually went down to the police station.
He went down to the precinct, yeah.
Wow, and made, what a little bitch. Right?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a compliment. Like, he thought that you were going to fuck him up. If I threatened to kill someone, they'd be like, haha, LOL.
Like, oh my God, have you been on the Housewives of New Jersey too long? Have you been hanging around with the Italians?
Shane, in fairness,
calm down, Irishman.
You probably thought Dolores was going to fuck him up.
That's true.
No, but Paul, and listen, the nicest, me and him, we scrap. We have our things. But Paul, outside of me, speaks so kindly to people. And even if his dinner comes back wrong and they're like, we'll take it off the bill, he goes, absolutely not. Do not take it off the bill. I want to pay for it. I just want to let you know it wasn't to quality. Yeah. That's how he talks to people. And the service guy, if you looked at all the other texts, thank you. How are you today? Yeah, all very nice.
And then I want to kill you.
Yeah. And
then,
please.
My check engine light is on. I'm going to fuck you up.
I want to kill you. Please call me.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. So someone advised us. We were telling the story because he was appalled. He felt so like.
I actually felt really guilty because I'm like, that's not, that I did not do that. You know what I mean? Like, and first of all, I would. Never put it in a text message,
anybody.
Right?
So, oh, yeah.
First of all.
Right. So if you're going to threaten to kill someone, you would never do it via text. So you would do it in person. Yeah.
So we
with
were
no
told,
witnesses.
You know, it's funny. Sounds like this guy has a problem with you. Why don't you get the body cam from the cop? Because you can. It's
public records.
Public reports.
So the guy goes in, down the precinct. He makes a report.
Yeah.
And you can see the camera of him doing it?
All of it. Yeah, we have it. Yeah. We have the video.
Legally.
Legally of everything he said. It's legal. And he
written
that's
transcript
why,
the whole
That's
lot.
Why it could be on TMZ. It could be anywhere. Yeah. Like who's her? Troy and what's her name? Berman. They're
Croy
and Kim. I mean, I'm watching them unfold because the police body cam is now public everywhere.
That's what that was. That's a body
That's
cam.
That's a reality show right there.
Yeah.
All the body cam footage?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So what did the guy say about you?
So we were told to do that and we got it. And when I came into my email, I opened it and was watching and I was like, oh my God, this fucking guy doesn't like me at all.
Well, I could see why. I mean, poor guy was probably a little startled and maybe he's so stressed out, couldn't sleep because you threatened to kill him.
I mean, I don't think that was the reason, but. Oh.
What did he say?
He just said this guy's a doucheball. Ever since he dated this Jersey housewife, his egos blew up.
This chick, this Jersey housewife chick. He thinks who the hell he is. He's a real asshole. So I'm not really afraid of this guy, and I don't think it's a big deal. Yeah. Like
this was on the body cam.
Yeah, yeah. But I just want to let this guy know he can't talk to people like that because he's just like an asshole. What a pack of pussies these days. I mean, honestly, why don't you just call and say, "Do you have a problem with me? Let's talk it out, or let's see each other."
Yeah,
yeah.
But not even to just went right.
Yeah.
So he now he's afraid. Of him.
Well, yeah, I was wondering, do you go back to that dealership, do you?
But the check engine light's still on.
No, well, it's dead in our driveway. And they sent a tow truck, and Paul's like, the tow truck isn't going to, it's a low to the ground car.
You have to have a flatbed.
Brought the wrong tow truck.
Yeah.
And he's still very nice.
They're trying, listen, look, you know, I spoke to the dealership direct, because I was like sitting in limbo, my car's not going, I'm like, wait a minute, this is not right, you know what I mean? I got to call them. So I gave them guys a call. They were very, very receiving of me. They were like, listen, we heard of it. We don't think he followed proper protocol. He kind of maybe made it bigger than what it was. They probably should have called themselves, but he'd already went to the police.
Oh, before even talking to the managers or anything.
From the feedback I'm getting, that's what it was.
Wow.
So they now have my car.
So the same dealership has your car.
Yeah, because they wanted to take it back because, you know, I said, listen, I just spent $15,000 putting a 2-year warranty on the car. It came back. It's not really right. And this guy has absolutely proven to me that he doesn't like me. He doesn't like, you know, I don't think he's giving me a proper service.
You're a douchebag.
Right? So, you know, I don't feel comfortable that the car was looked at correctly. He said, so they wanted to take it back.
See, and he would never have known how this guy really felt about him unless he got the body cam.
Yeah, but I mean, the guy called the police. You're probably never going to work with him again anyway. But then, I'm surprised that you didn't go to a different dealership this time, but you let them take the car and
so
fix it.
Because he's nice.
I spoke to legal and they said, look, let's see where it goes. So as of now, the car is there. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, make me feel comfortable to stay there. That's bad on their behalf. Considering who the product is, like they're a pretty established.
And you've been
product.
There, what, 15 years?
10, yeah.
Is this the car that Dolores wrecked?
No.
A different car.
This is too hard to drive. I wouldn't drive this car.
But you, which car did you run into?
The Rolls Royce, convertible Rolls Royce.
You hit, what did you hit again?
A guardrail.
And did, you got that fixed?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So is she, are you still driving that car?
If I have to, yeah.
No, right. We got her a G-Wagon, so.
I hate it.
What? Really?
I hate it.
Tell me why. It drives like a truck.
It drives like a truck. I can't get it. Like, I'm not a 6 foot tall, like, it's beautiful Russian girl getting out of it. I'm like a 5 foot three, and I have bruises all over my legs.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know who thinks that's good. They're getting out of the car. Like, when I get out, I'm like, sorry, guys, you know, it was just.
Can you lower it, though? Does it not lower? Because mine lowers.
No.
Otherwise, I'd have trouble getting in and out of that thing.
No, I have all bruises on the back of my leg. It's too fast. It's not for me. My favorite car is a Jeep Sahara. What's the one that Frankie drives?
The one you have?
Yeah.
Jeep something. I don't
know. Yeah, a convertible. I mean, I could park it anywhere. I could drive it. I could hit whatever I want. That's all I want.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of responsibility.
I don't want
getting in an accident.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's hard not to crash an expensive car. It's hard.
I don't want to be bothered really, with that. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Now, let me ask you this, Dolores. So we got here Friday, and we've been trying to, you know, provide all of this entertainment for Monroe. We did the circus on Saturday, Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil.
But it was... Twas the night before, right?
Mm-hmm. A magical Christmas show.
Yeah, and it was only an hour and 20 minutes, yeah. So it was good for me, because major ADD. Lot of dancing twinks, correct? That flip and...
It was amazing.
Flip and twist.
They do all these tricks on each other.
It is a little risque. Mm-hmm. It is. Did she happen to notice that? Or I'd be curious what she thought.
No, she liked it. I think she liked all the the aerial like stunts stuff. And all of that.
It's very, yeah.
Shane liked it.
Oh, I love it. It's a good show.
Yeah, they're not my type. So,
yes.
They're like short and stocky, like gymnast guys. I don't think that's for you.
It's unbelievable what they can do with their bodies, though.
But some of them, you could see the outline of their penis right through their
yeah, it's
leotards.
Like a banana in there.
Yeah, not everybody, but yeah, you're right.
The whole
but I don't,
formation
she didn't,
of it.
I didn't point it out, and she didn't say anything.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. So this woman comes in, and it just bothers me when someone's 20 minutes late. I understand, like 5 minutes late, whatever. She's a mess. She rolls in. She's got her mom. She's got, I'm going to say, maybe a... the 4-year-old and then maybe a 2-year-old. I have never seen anyone make a bigger mess in my entire life. They trashed the place and they were sitting right next to me. She drops a Coke. She drops her hot dog.
She must have been driving you crazy.
She was such a clumsy mess. There was ketchup, mustard, hot dog, Coke, ice. It was like, You saw it.
It was absurd.
Haven't you seen that on a plane? You seen that? So like people.
Where's the manners?
But it was like a 3-foot by 2-foot just.
And she just stained, totally destroyed.
Didn't even try to clean up, and it got so bad, Dolores, that she now gets up from her seat and goes one row up.
She hops seats because her seat was too dirty.
Because it was such a mess, but it's right next to me. So then when the show is over. We literally are trying to climb over the seat to not step in all the ketchup and the mustard. And she didn't even try to clean it up. Like, not even try.
I kicked the hot dog a little bit. It's like right in the way.
I've seen that.
I almost said something.
But can you imagine how they live at home?
Oof.
And by the way, like, I understand she's got 2 kids, but mom was there not doing shit.
Mm,
and she was young enough where she could help.
It's just, I mean, there's just different... People are just different, right? Some people, nothing bothers them. If he gets something on his shirt, it'll drive him nuts. He'll have to buy a new shirt. And some people could have everything on and it doesn't faze them.
I had to literally talk myself off the ledge. Like,
so you were distracted.
Like, stare at the penis, stare at the penis.
I was gonna say something to her like, can you try to clean this up? And I could just smell, because it was right next to me, the seat right next to me. I could just smell the food.
Oh, God.
And it's like, you know what? You should never be allowed to eat in public, you and your family. And then why do you bring your mom? You bring your mom to help. But mom sat there. She watched the show.
Mom
and
was watching the bananas.
Mom was in for the ride.
Yeah, she sure was.
She was checking the bananas out.
Well, you know, your mom would have been doing that.
Not the hot dogs.
She was transfixed with all those little twinks. But I don't know how. I think there might have been more gays at the Rockettes.
We were at the Rockettes. His first time, he loved it.
Yeah,
did you go to amazing?
I mean, we go every year from Monroe.
So good.
It is actually more. I thought it was more entertaining than the circus, mostly because of the little people and also the girl with no hand. Because I play a game like, where'd she go? And then I'm looking for her the entire time. Brogan did it too.
Yeah.
Once you see her once, you can't stop looking.
Which one?
The one with no hand.
The Rockette with no hand.
I didn't notice.
It's a famous. She's famous.
She's famous. She wrote a children's book.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. She did.
Oh, God.
And I had
her.
No idea, good but Santa's wife is fucking hot. Like, I think
oh, you're kidding.
She is young. She is black. And I
how
think
do you know
she's
got
to be the second wife.
For sure.
In the Rockettes.
We need to go see things with them. They even have a whole different perspective of things.
But
they make it fun, Paul.
Yeah.
I tell you why this is not going to work, though, for you guys. I don't think you could ever be a Rockette. Because I did a little deep dive. They make $1,500 a week. Okay, now that sounds like a lot, but no, because they do. They have two teams of Rockettes. All right, so two teams of 40. Correct.
Yeah.
So they have two of them do the morning shows, and then so the one team does the morning shows, two of them, and then the second team does the afternoon evening shows, and that's two also. So I did chump math, and I figured that you have, if you're a Rockette, you're doing two shows a day. 7 days a week from November, it's like November 17th to January 1st. But when you divide the 1500 by the 14 shows, you get $107.14 a performance.
Wow.
That's fucking robbery.
It's not for the show.
$107.
It's, but they are,
it's
not enough.
It's to be, it's because to be, it's an honor to be that. It's an honor to be a housewife.
The people selling, the people selling popcorn are making more money than the actual Rockettes.
So the night we were there was opening night, and you could tell who's the families must go opening night, and it's all front and center, all families, the moms and the sisters aww of the Rockettes.
Yeah, it was cool.
And Paul said, look at them. They've waited their whole lives for this. It's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It was very cool.
I heard I was going to get an offer to participate in that Rockettes, but I'm not doing it. I'd rather drive Uber. I'll make more money.
They make a lot of money, Uber. Yeah.
Uber makes good money.
You can't take that pay cut.
I'm not going to dance for $107. No way. Would you, Scott?
No.
No. What would it take for you to be a Rockette, Shane? The first male,
like $40, like lunch,
a glass of wine.
Yeah. I mean, if I Caesar could look, salad. If I could have that tight butt and those legs, mm-hmm, I'll do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Here's the other thing: they have to do their own makeup and hair.
Oh, that, and I'm out.
I did read that.
I'm out. Look at me today. I had to do my own makeup and hair today. This is the product of me doing my own makeup and
really
hair.
I would really like to see the housewives do that with no hair and makeup and had to do it themselves.
They'd look like clowns.
To see what
you should
really
have heard
get
me calling around to try to get somebody to do my hair and makeup at 3:30 this morning. Yesterday I was calling. Nobody wants to work in Florida. I'm like, you're kidding me. Like,
so you did your hair and makeup on your own today?
Clearly.
But but it's very light makeup. You're very naturally pretty.
I don't know how to I don't know how to put it on. So, yeah.
I've done it sometimes. For
he does my makeup sometimes.
Seriously.
Glam by Paul. That's cute.
Wow. Now, I guess I was so tired from all those Christmas parties that when we got on the plane.
We've only been to one.
God, I had something every night last week. I was so tired. So we get on that
plane
Friday.
You were at the one. You were at Kathy Hilton's, no?
No, I was not at Kathy Hilton's. I was at Sutton Strack's.
Oh, Sutton's. Yes.
And I was at a few last week. So when I got
she's
on that,
pretty funny.
When I got on
she's
that plane,
hysterical.
I fell right to sleep, like within 5 minutes.
They're a lot. It's a lot of talking. It's
well, the announcements went on. Apparently, I missed them all. And
we were in the front row. So the announcements were very loud. And I looked over and Jeff was asleep like the moment we sat down. And I was like, wake up. There could be an emergency. I don't know. He was asleep. Dead asleep.
And those announcements, Shane was telling me, just went on and on about the credit card. And if you want to apply for a Delta card and the miles and
where?
This
where? Was
and that.
That at the Rockette thing you're talking about?
No,
we switched subjects, Dolores.
Oh, on the plane.
Yeah, no.
Dolores is still in Sarasota.
She's at Sutton's Christmas party.
Sorry, we bounced
she's
around.
She's on the Rockette stage.
The plane that we were on. There was no announcements on the plane we were on today. It was falling apart while we were on it.
Did you fly Spirit?
It should have been. It was United Spirit. It was. It was had a United sticker on it, but it was Spirit.
The spirit of United.
I was like, I used my purse as my shoe rest, and usually they make you put it up When I tell you it was the worst plane I've ever been on in my life falling apart.
Was it like rattling and noisy?
It was rattling.
That's like Southwest
flights. Well, you are also were flying into like a huge storm.
No. It was all broken. Broken. No, and breakfast was a piece of cheese. I thought I was back in the jail. A piece of cheese and a cracker.
You were in the elevator without me, you and Brogan, correct?
Yes.
So at our hotel, and I really appreciate, this is how, Shane, you're a very loyal assistant.
Of course.
So you're in the elevator.
Chief
and,
of staff.
And what happens?
It was another guest and a hotel employee and I, and the employee and the other guests were chatting. She was like, oh my God, I saw a celebrity today. And I was like, oh my God, who was it? And she was like, I don't know, some like house guy in LA. Oh. I can't think of the name. He's not too well known. I can't think of it, but I've seen him on TV before. And I was like, oh my God, was it Jeff? She's like, yes. And I was like, well, he has a new show on Amazon, Freebie, Hollywood Housewife, season 2. Check it out. She's like, oh, great. Okay, cool.
So she did not know you were affiliated with me at all.
Mm-mm.
And then she didn't even, after you promoted Hollywood Housewife, she had no idea.
No. So I hope she's streaming it today.
That is so funny.
So he's just promoting me in elevators, which I really appreciate, Shane. Nice.
Everywhere I go.
So when I got on that flight, I told Monroe, Daddy's tired. You gotta leave me alone. You gotta let me sleep. Watch, what was she watching? Lorax.
She was watching The Lorax.
I'm like, watch The Lorax. Let me sleep, please. And I said, so I'm about to doze off. I said, hey, no shots, no tequila. And she's so funny. She doesn't miss a beat. She's like, I'm okay with that. She's a funny kid.
She's a funny kid. Yeah. She is funny. Mm-hmm. But how could she not be? Because she has a dry sense of humor like you.
Well, she's also a little strange. She likes this game when we're walking on the streets of New York. It's called a kidnap game. She loves it. I've never seen her laugh so hard. So what happens is I'm walking with my daughter. And the kidnapper, which is Shane, grabs her and runs as fast as he can down the street.
Oh, that's so funny.
Now, I don't know what it looks like to
that's what I'm saying. She laughs her ass off and no one cares. You can just grab a baby in New York and just run down the street. No one gives a fuck. She loves it.
She loves the kidnap game. But she's 7 now and she's getting bigger.
I'm stressed. Like, that was a hard run. Like, when she was 5, it was like, easy, okay, like, whatever, I'll run. But now, like, we go to dinner, I have 2 drinks, and then I have to like, run 10 blocks with
this
kid. She's
gonna look, make somebody else do it one day. She'll look back, see it's not you. That's a bad joke to play.
Now, I do think it's funny. I don't want to cause any problems between you two. But you two are still fighting over the thermostat.
It might be the demise. We've been talking.
I'm worried.
Not well.
I'm really worried about you guys.
It's been years. I mean, we've talking about this for years.
In a petri dish. It's 74 degrees.
That is so hot.
Sometimes it's 77.
That is too hot.
I want to.
And do you have radiant floors as well?
Yeah.
So you've got hot floors, plus you've got the heater on.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
No,
it's so
the hot
bad.
Floors.
I haven't slept in 2 years. I have not
because
slept.
Because it's so hot.
It's so hot. I cannot sleep. It's
terrible. I'm the same way.
I'm going to start sending you videos of her sleeping.
It doesn't mean I stay awake. No, it doesn't mean I stay sleeping. When you wake up and you're hot.
I hate it. You can't stay asleep.
You can't stay
and you're
asleep.
Sweating.
It's very bad.
I like it freezing cold with a ton of covers.
It's unhealthy to have a hot house.
I agree.
Oh, I love a hot
house. And people that keep their kids blankets on the kids and the house is hot, those kids are always sick.
So you just don't like the cold at all, do you, Polly?
He comes from Ireland. He should like it.
I know. He should be used to it.
I mean, I just don't understand when the air conditioning's on and then she goes into my son's room, takes his cover, puts it over underneath the cover already on the bed between 6 pillows, and I can't find her.
Because
and not only that, I can't find her dog.
Because it's supposed to be comfortable.
Because her dog is afraid to come out because it'll get frostbite.
I know.
So he climbs under the pillows as well.
But what are we going to do?
And it's a
wakes
real
up,
problem.
This is what she does.
There's got to be a compromise.
She wakes up and
no
she goes.
Compromise.
She wakes up and she goes, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, all right, take care.
Can you sleep with the door open?
What?
Too cold.
It's outside.
He can't. I can.
Mm. Now, so you're done filming now, season 14. Is that
done.
Correct?
Yes.
Completely done. Yeah. Now, the last time you were here, I think we were discussing with you, was there was going to be kind of a production within the production. So, and I don't know if that's still the case, where there was going to be like, there's the Teresa camp and then there's the Melissa camp. Or do they end up filming together this year?
Mm-mm.
You can't say anything.
I can't say, but the other girls said. So it turned out it worked out well. They didn't know that they were going to be. No one knew how it was going to be. I don't know that it's ever been filmed like this before. But it was. Nothing was. There's no loss of them two not talking.
I see. But did they? Has anyone said?
I don't think
that,
it was missed.
Did they? They never filmed together.
They didn't, and I don't think it was missed. No, but there was times. There was all cast events.
Oh, that's what I was.
There
curious.
Was. We were going to have the finale. We were going to be all together, and the house burned down. So we wound up.
Wait, what?
Well, the finale I was hosting.
Metaphorically.
Oh, yeah, metaphorically.
No, no, no.
Physically?
Yeah. We had a 9-bedroom house in the Berkshires, and for the the cast trip, and the house burned down.
Before you got there.
Yeah. The night before. To the ground. It was like a 5-alarm fire.
Well, thank God you guys weren't there. The next night you were supposed to be there?
The next night.
What caused the fire?
I think it was electrical. Hmm. It was bad. It was bad. The whole house burned to the ground. 9 bedrooms.
Was anyone at the home at the time?
No.
I mean, we could have lost.
It was ready for us.
We could have lost our beloved housewives.
The whole cast.
For us.
So we never got a cast trip.
Wow. Okay. So that was maybe a blessing in disguise.
I think they were all happy about it. We were supposed to go to Dorinda's for lunch in the Berkshires.
So they just canceled it. That was it.
Couldn't do it. Yeah.
Do you have a finale event? Is there a party still?
Oh, was there a finale?
But you guys get along. You guys get along well with Luis and Teresa.
Jeez.
Yeah. We get on with everybody.
I get along with them fine. I'm probably closer to Margaret and Melissa and all that. Yeah. But I've been learning like not to get involved in other people's fights or wars because it's just not.
Because for what? Make your own enemies.
I do that on my own.
Yeah,
I don't
you
need
do enough
help.
On your own.
Yes.
You don't need to make. You don't need somebody else's enemies. You don't need everyone can hold their own.
Yeah.
Right? I have never met anybody on any of these shows that can't hold their own.
Is it hard for you to play both sides? Do they get mad at you?
No, I don't play both sides. I just don't play any side at all. So
you're neutral.
I'm neutral. I speak my mind. But a lot of the times I don't agree with either one of them. Because you know why? When you want to hit low, then somebody hits lower. Then they hit lower, and it becomes just a big mess.
So was there a lot of shit talking, like Luis and Teresa shit talking Melissa and Joe and vice versa the whole season? Are they still fighting, but just not in front of each other?
No.
Okay.
There's no, really anything.
So
they just, they just cohabitate in this world.
So you go film with Melissa and Joe, and then the next day you might film with Teresa and Luis, but you're never all filming together.
Smart, because then you get a lot of camera time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you are
this
smart.
This poor guy was tired this season. But again, there was some all cast events where we were all at, and they just
no fighting, no confrontations,
There was, you'll see,
at the softball game.
Was there at the softball game?
Not really.
That set the pace for the show. So I'm just gonna everyone knows who's not getting along.
Oh, so it's that annual softball game that you do for charity.
Yeah, my annual softball game. And something always happens in that locker room. And even if I ask them not to, I'm like, okay, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
do we know when this is going to air?
We don't have a date yet.
Spring.
Maybe. I asked them. I asked when I asked permission to come on here. I said, what's going on, guys? And they're like, we don't know yet. Unless they just don't tell me. I'm always the last to know, Jeff.
I'm assuming
I find out by a blogger.
So the cast is Teresa, Melissa, Danielle is back, Margaret,
everybody's
Dolores,
back.
Jennifer, Rachel, and then I love Jennifer Fessler.
She's awesome. She's so funny. I've
met
her
at
BravoCon,
and I really, really liked her.
She's awesome. She's hysterical. She's witty. She's funny.
Yeah. No, she gets along well with Margaret and Melissa because they were all together at BravoCon.
She has gotten to know Teresa and Jennifer Aiden very well now.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not the only one that's come to my senses. Other people are now saying, let's get to know everybody.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And that's what they should do. And then form their own opinions, right? And
it's
going to
be
fights.
An interesting season because they have never done anything like this.
No, not that I know of. But like I said, we didn't miss a beat. And no one missed those arguments.
Well, I think as a viewer, I think we were kind of sick of all
the same old
relentless
rhetoric
fighting
and
over and over and over and over again. It's like it's never going
to
work out.
As sad as it is, it's time to put it to bed. Mm-hmm. And they both felt that way. They needed peace in their lives, and they both seem much happier.
Oh, good.
even filming, they were both more themselves.
They you weren't know, on the defense.
They weren't on the defense, exactly.
Now, I read recently, and we know we've discussed how you both met, which was at the Apple Store.
Oh, yeah.
But we never discussed the first date, which is a strange choice, I think. You went to Panera?
No, we
walked. I read that you went to Panera.
We walked from the Apple Store to Panera. It was next door and talked for like 3 hours. But our first date was at Rocco's Steakhouse.
Okay. So, well, technically, though, the first date was at Panera. The second date was at Rocco's Steakhouse.
Technically, the first date was at Panera.
Yeah.
I am cheap.
Now, Oscar, our he's one of our producers, but he's at Disney World in Gatorland today. He went on a date, and he took the girl to BJ's.
Nice.
That would have been not the good idea.
I mean, it's like a Fridays.
What's BJ's?
It's kind of like a TGI Fridays.
Oh, I'm thinking like a Costco, like a BJ's where you go shopping for bulk.
I like BJ's, but yeah.
Me too.
I've never been to
I've seen BJ's. He took her to BJ's for a BJ's.
That's why I had to clarify. I was like, this guy is batting thousands on his first date. This is great.
He's batting thousands, but I don't think that's... He got a BJ after taking her. He wouldn't have got a BJ from
not after spinach artichoke dip.
Oh. I hope not.
Not after I had to buy the cheddar broccoli
soup. Paul doesn't like me to talk dirty.
Green, I absolutely do.
Just not on the radio.
So how did it work out? Because you know what? Maybe somebody would have been happy with that, and there's nothing wrong with that.
They have a full bar. I'm down, and they have good appetizers.
You know what? They have good desserts. They have like big, probably hot chocolate things with ice cream on it and so chocolate chip.
Have you ever been there?
So you were at BJ's.
I
have.
I don't think they have that.
I think she went on a date there. That she's just
supposed
to say. Yeah.
No. But I mean.
Do you ever go on dates and then you get there and they just have beer and wine? And you're just like, fuck.
You have to check before.
Yeah. You have
but
to check.
But wait a second. You know, that
you guys
might
don't drink
be,
anymore, do you?
You got to be. No. Not really. No, he likes tequila. But here's the thing. What if he took her... What if he was a really generous guy and he was just like giving her a test to see if she'd be nice if he took her there? I'd give it a second.
Then he'd be generous.
Just in case.
And silly at the same
time. I think it's a fine... I think it's a... Depending on what you want to spend, I think it's a fine date restaurant, don't you?
It's like a sit... I mean, yeah, it's like... It's a...
Get to know you.
It's a casual, but it's like a sit-down. So it's like a
yeah,
little
yeah, so someone's
restaurant.
Waiting on you.
Yeah.
It's cost-effective. And you know, he probably... Could get her shit face with those big drinks.
Oh, go to Applebee's where the drinks are a dollar. That's a
look
first
at this
date.
Guy.
If anybody thinks it's cheap to feed me, even if I'm on my gyro, it's not. Because if I want something, I'm ordering it. I'll order two entrees
and have a bite of each.
A bite of each, and I'll bring it home.
And she brings it home.
I'm not picky, but I like my things, certain things.
Now let me ask you this. So it sounds to me. Now you just tell me. You guys are in a restaurant, and the service is not great. Do you say something or does Polly say something or how does that work?
Sometimes I get a little frustrated. I never want to be angry or mean. You never know what someone's going through. And Polly will say, I'll let it go. Maybe they're having a bad day. Like, we never complain. Like, we were at Houston's. He had burnt chicken. It's
I
never
love
bad
Houston's.
There. We
I
love
Houston's.
It. We'll go there
so
with you.
So good.
And
spinach artichoke dip.
Yeah, we live for that.
It's always on point. Everything's on point.
And he said, listen, I just want to let you guys know my chicken's burnt. I'm going to eat it anyway, but you guys are usually on point, so I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Mm.
That's how he
That's
handles.
That's a nice way of doing it.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday we were at a bar and grill after the Rockettes. Mm-hmm. So they sit us down, and I said, excuse me, we've been here for several minutes, and no one has come up. And the hostess says, okay, no problem. We'll send someone over. Fine, no problem. Guy comes over, tall, handsome, nice guy.
Yeah.
But you could tell he's a little vacant behind the eyes. And he said, what would you like? And this is a real easy order. It's four appetizers and like three drinks. But the drinks are, can we get two Bloody Marys with salt? So when I started, I'm looking at him and I'm like, God, this guy needs to be writing this down. There's no way he's going to remember.
So you always know.
The one of the funniest things I've ever experienced. So I said, can you please repeat the order back to me?
No, shit.
And he goes like this. Okay, one crab cake, and then one thousand, two thousand. And then he walked away to get a pen. And then he came back and he took the whole order again, and this time wrote it down. And then
you just knew.
I just knew, like, he's not going to remember like one drink, let alone three. He's not going to remember four. Well, he did remember one appetizer, the crab cake,
which was
but
delicious.
Then he went blank after that. So everything
that was
showed
the
up
last
fine.
Thing he said was the crab cake.
Everything showed up fine, except I've never had a Bloody Mary with a sugar rim.
Sugar rim.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, sweet.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of this, listen to Jeff Lewis Live every weekday on Sirius XM, as well as the Jeff Lewis channel exclusively on the Sirius XM app. For a 3-month free trial, go to SiriusXM.com/Jeff Lewis. Terms apply.